From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, The Full Extent of the Grace of God, the fifth in a series devoted to the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. As we look at the marvelous transformation of this man from Saul of Tarsus, who was rabid in his persecution of the followers of Christ, into the flaming evangelist Paul the Apostle, we are inclined to view Paul's conversion as something extraordinary. Of course, Paul was a unique figure in many ways, and yet, as Dr. Cairns is seeking to show, many of the aspects of Paul's salvation experience are common to all who come to Christ. The first feature of Paul's conversion is true of all Christians. He received mercy. Then, as we'll see today, he received a master. Here, Dr. Cairns will deal with a fallacy that is all too common in this day, that a person can receive Christ as his Savior, but refuse to acknowledge him as his Lord. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Sensitive to Warning. The text is found in 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 19. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Many despise warning and perish. Happy is he who trembles at the word of God. Josiah did so, and he was spared the sight of the evil which the Lord determined to send upon Judah because of her great sins. Have you this tenderness? Do you practice this self-humiliation? Then you also shall be spared in the evil day. God sets a mark upon the men that sigh and cry because of the sin of the times. The destroying angel is commanded to keep his sword in its sheath till the elect of God are sheltered. These are best known by their godly fear and their trembling at the word of the Lord. Are the times threatening? Do popery and infidelity advance with great strides? And do you dread national chastisement upon this polluted nation? Well, you may. Yet rest in this promise. Thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. Better still, the Lord himself may come, and then the days of our mourning shall be ended.
Thank you.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly, the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Thinking of this as I pondered these scriptures this week. cause religious zeal can blind people to the truth of Christ. How sincerely held religious belief can actually blind people to Jesus Christ. And the more sincere they are in false religion, the more sold out they are to that false religion, then the more hardened their heart is to Jesus Christ. That's as it was with Saul of Tarsus, opposed to Christ, blinded by his religious zeal, believing all the time that he was actually serving God and furthering his kingdom by his opposition to Christ. Even when his conscience began to stir him after his meeting with Stephen, he could quell it because he felt that somehow or other he would be betraying his God, his religion, the tradition of his fathers, if he gave an ear to this message of Jesus of Nazareth. Saul was sinning in the dark. And as soon as he saw the light, in Acts 26:19, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. But before that light entered, my, what a figure Saul of Tarsus cut, seeking to establish his own righteousness, serving God in all good conscience, yet he opposed and blasphemed the very Son of God and sought to obliterate his truth. It was an awful sin. And yet, I think it's a beautiful example of the words of the Lord Jesus. He said in Matthew 12:32, whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. And Saul of Tarsus was later able to say, I did that, and I obtained mercy. How patient, loving, kind the Lord was. He gave him light, he gave him pardon. And as we read in verse 16 of 1 Timothy 1, he did all this in order that he would set him forth as a pattern that showed the long suffering of Christ to those who would come afterwards. In other words, God holds Saul of Tarsus before us in Scripture, and he says, look what I did for him. I gave him mercy. And if there's mercy for a Saul of Tarsus, if there's power in the blood of Christ to cleanse that blasphemy and the injury that he inflicted on the body of Christ, then there's mercy for the greatest of sinners. What a message that is. I well remember opening that scripture that I quoted from Matthew 12, the young person who had gone very deep into sin, in the service of Satan, very deeply into the drug culture, into witchcraft, wickedness, with a life broken and a heart broken and a mind broken. Nowhere else in the world to turn. I'll never forget opening the Bible at Matthew chapter 12. Seeing that verse just grip a soul. Seeing that soul transformed. The tears running down the face. Can it be true? Can it be true that all that I have spoken against Christ, all that I have done against Christ, can be forgiven? Can it be true that there's mercy even for such a one as I? Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, could say, I received mercy. This is the testimony of every Christian. With gladness we therefore go and tell it to sinners of every stripe. We're living in a bleak, black, ugly world. Sin is real and it's as horrible as it's real. Every day we face people who are guilty of the blackest crimes before God. but we have a message of hope. And the message is there's mercy with the Lord. You don't need to walk any more years in vanity. You don't need to walk any more steps through life in the blackness and bleakness of a lost sinner's condition. There is mercy with the Lord. The psalmist said, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee. There is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. And later in the same psalm he said, with the Lord is mercy and plenteous redemption. That's the gospel that reached all of Tarsus. That's the gospel that has reached every sea of person in this meeting. That's the gospel to take to the world. The first thing he received was mercy. And secondly, he received a master. Now, I mentioned this last Sabbath evening, and I want to re-emphasize it again this evening. He received a master. Look at him on the Damascus Road. What happened? The light from heaven blinded him. The glory of Jesus Christ outshone every other glory. And it leveled him in the dust before God. There, as Saul of Tarsus lay in the dust of the Damascus Road, the Lord Jesus changed his destination and he changed his purpose. He sent him on into Damascus. For 3 days, the Lord Jesus let Saul of Tarsus remain in Damascus blind, without food, for he neither ate nor drank. So there he was, weak, blind, and exhausted. I have no doubt that the devil would have used every power at his disposal to attack the mind of Saul of Tarsus, to tell him that what he'd experienced in the Damascus Road was somehow just a figment of his imagination, that he didn't have the commission from Christ, that Christ was not risen, that there was no mercy, no pardon, no future, no nothing of this. No doubt, as Satan does to every new convert, he turned all the big guns of hell upon him. But patiently, Saul of Tarsus prayed through those 3 days, humbly, reverently, waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. What a difference has been brought about in this man. You see, now he has a new master. So overcome was he by the goodness and glory of the Lord that he just left himself entirely at his feet so that Christ would do with him as he would, when he would, why he would. You see, from the moment on the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus looked on Christ in a new way. He was the captain. He was the leader. He was the pattern. He was the guide. He was the Lord. He was the commander. Up to that point, Saul had been dominated, like every other sinner, by self, self-righteousness, sin, and even Satan. Years later, he spoke to the Ephesians about the background out of which God had brought them. Now, they were Gentiles, brought out of wicked heathenism. But notice in Ephesians 2 how the apostle associates himself with the same wickedness. He says, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now worketh in the children of disobedience. You. Now notice how he changes from the second person into the first. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, fulfilling the lusts of our flesh, and the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's how he remembered himself in his unsaved days. One whose conversation was fleshly. One whose life was fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. One whose life was dominated by self, self-righteousness and Satan. But then in an instant, his entire attitude changed. As soon as he met with Christ, Christ was the master. And he was willing to serve him with his entire being. Now, I'm going to make a very simple, a very blunt, and a very far-reaching statement. And in making this statement, I will go against the vast majority of so-called gospel preachers in this day and age who want to make the way to heaven so broad that there is no sense at all in the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 7. When he speaks of the narrow way. What I want to make clear to you is this. The inevitable result of anyone ever really meeting Jesus Christ is that person immediately makes Christ his master. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of this crazy gospel that is populating hell from the church pews. This crazy non-gospel that tells sinners, take him as your Savior even while you are not willing to have him as your master. It cannot be done. You cannot split Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. And He will not be your Lord without being your Savior. And He will not be your Savior without being your Lord. As soon as a person really meets Jesus Christ, the inevitable immediate result will be to make Christ master. You remember immediately after the resurrection, John 20, verse 16, how that the Lord Jesus revealed himself to Mary Magdalene. She didn't recognize him. I would love to have been there to hear how he said her name. The Lord Jesus was able to put an inflection into the mere name of Mary that no other person could ever do. And with that one word, Mary, she turned herself unto him. She saw him and she said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info at faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.